Hello, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Janet, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a show about saying exactly what you mean in the clearest, dearest way possible. This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case.
This is about no more blah, blah, blah. Just great, worthwhile conversation about things in life that matter.
And together we are here at KUSF every week to strengthen the languishing art of writing love letters. Not email, not text messaging, your thumbs will appreciate the vacation, and no cell phones. Real letters on real paper.
Love letters go way beyond romance. They are from anybody to everybody, to children, parents, grandparents, sisters, best friends, favorite teachers, even doctors and merchants who've made a difference. They are from brother to brother, as man to man. They are obituaries and eulogies. They're for people living and for people who have gone. Love letters can even be written to yourself. You know who needs one.
And a love letter, just to be clear, is a gift. It is a gift designed by you, as a rule, for one person and one person only in this entire universe. It is a gift that will never need to be returned, it will never go out of style, and it will be new with each new reading. Remember that a love letter is any heartfelt truth put to paper in a loving, compassionate way, and mailed.
Writing a love letter is also a gift to yourself. It's giving yourself permission to be your best self.
So every week on this show, we talk to people who have come through challenges in life, and I think that includes pretty much everyone on earth, people who appreciate what they have, who know the importance of gratitude felt and gratitude expressed, and who know that life is always, but always, mid-journey.
These are people who have stories to share and letters to write.
That's right. And we're talking to people who are brave enough to put it in writing. When you put it in writing, you can't take it back. When you've written it down, you can't hope it's forgotten, because there it is. Once it's in writing, there is no denying what you've said.
The trick is to say it in a way that makes you proud to be the writer, happy that you spoke your mind and were generous enough to share what's in your heart. And now it's time for to talk with our guest. And Janet, I'm going to let you take that away.
I would love to. Our guest today is Barbara Patinkin, the owner of ClassicCommunication.com. And Barbara, I want to, well, first of all, I just want to say that I've known you for years. I think we met
happily
through an organization.
Happily.
And I know that you've done a lot of things in your life. I know that you've had a lot of experience with life, and that communicating well happens to be something that is very important to you. I know that the first thing you don't want is a cell phone in your presence when you're talking to somebody, and I think that personal connection and communication is so important, and that's what this is all about.
Yep.
So let me ask you something. What has been the biggest challenge, the biggest joy, or the biggest accomplishment of your life? And I know that you've had an enormous challenge that you have handled throughout your life beautifully.
Well, on a professional level, it's building my company, Classic Communication, for the last 14 years, and it's growing, and I'm quite proud of that. At communication being the information, and the second is a child that has come back to my life that I.
Do you want to tell us that a little bit from the beginning?
Okay. All right, that's the best way to begin. 25 years old in 1965, I became pregnant, and I came from not a religious family, but an observant family, religious, and in our language, the shanda of being
the scandal.
Pregnant, the scandal, yes, to my family, and I just decided in my, I don't know what, attitude to leave and take care of it myself.
And how did you take care of this?
Well, I left Chicago on my way to Boston because I understood there was a shelter there for unwed mothers. And When I called, I learned that I shouldn't go there because they don't take out-of-state residents. And the one person that I did have in New York, I had to tell, and she is a cousin, but now is my sister. And the two of us found the Jewish Federation in New York, who did have a shelter, and I was well taken care of. And at the time that it is that you go into their care, you're requested to sign a release, a surrender paper of the child. And I, at 25, just there was no way I can raise a child, especially alone, unwed.
So you sign that paper right away, and so you're see your pregnancy through knowing that you were not going to know that child.
Yes, that's correct.
How sad.
That's correct.
How awful.
Well, after everything is over, and in retrospect of many, many years, I'm sure I was a little catatonic in just trying to manage to move from day to day. But I was well cared for in terms of, you know, no shunning, no, you know, bad girl kind of thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you lived your life, this baby was someplace you knew he would be cared for well and raised beautifully and with love. And
well,
you
that's
lived your
the hope.
Life.
That's the hope.
That's the hope. So yeah. What happened? What gift did you receive in your adult life? It's one of the questions we like to ask here, that you never, ever expected.
To see him again.
How did that come about?
Well, just a little bit of a story on that also. In 1981, which is 20 years after the birth, or you know, a little shorter than that, the Sunshine Laws began to be effective, and I called the service, Louise Weiss Service, to learn if there were any new paradigms they instituted in terms of my getting to know, because I surrendered it. That's not learning, not knowing, not anything. And the only thing that they allowed was something called, they would allow, I would send them an affidavit that I am available. They're not going to call the child and say, yo, uh-huh, your birth mother is available. But, you know, if the person, yes, came, if the son came, my son came, then my son, I love saying that, that they would then give the information.
So it's up to you to have the door open.
Yes,
that
was the paradigm, uh-huh, that they, uh-huh, would allow. And I sent it off, and that was in 1981. And then truly didn't think that anything would happen. And then in 2004, October 28th, uh-huh, 2004, my son was born again.
To you.
Yeah, to me.
He
indeed
called you?
Yes, he called and asked for Barbara Patinkin, and I didn't hang up because he pronounced my name right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought, okay, I said, yes, this is. And he said, did you have a moment to speak? And now I'm on my guard, you know, well, who is this? And he said, Adam Patinkin, born August 4th, 1965.
And you said what? This
is what I said. I just, nothing. There were so many feelings, thoughts, emotions. I still, it's that's the way.
Yes,
yeah.
I can imagine.
And he was, and from the get-go, I mean, he was a sensitive person. I just, and he's a wonderful man.
Oh, and so somebody did raise him beautifully,
yes,
and with,
yes,
love.
Yes.
So you went to visit him?
On New Year's of 2005.
New year, new life.
Yeah,
oh, that's,
yeah,
wonderful.
Right.
So
you and met everyone. Met his adopted family, his mother and father, one of his adopted sisters, and learned that the Louise Wise had called Carol and Seymour are the names. If they had adopted two children and wanted to know if there was a third, because in 65 there weren't a lot of mothers looking for as many children.
Well, this is just a beautiful story and a beautiful gift and a sign of changing times.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Yes, that now you have not only your son, but you have a whole other family,
yeah,
that you're part of and that's part of you.
And a granddaughter.
Yes, yes. Isn't that just... And I guess that smile is on your face every time you think about it.
Every time.
So I have a question to ask you. The next question would be, who gets the love letter? Now, you've got so many choices here of people you could write a love letter to. You've got your son. You've got the people who raised him for you.
Right.
You've got your parents who are no longer here. And there's always the possibility of writing to the people from whom you kept a secret and catching them up to the beauty of your life right now.
And
then you mail it to your son. I mean, it's a love letter really for more than one person. There's so many choices. What do you think you'd like to do?
Oh, I love that idea. That's wonderful. I like that a lot. My parents were such good, wonderful people.
Yes, I'm sure.
And
Barbara, while you're thinking that over, because I can tell that's going to take a little bit of thought for you, let me just remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, and the show is Love Letters Live. And Janet, I'm going to ask you, before we start working on Barbara's love letter, what would be some general things to keep in mind about writing love letters?
Well, I would say, offhand, and because I believe it, that any love letter can be a love letter, and why not? Love letters are to invite people into your life or see them gently and kindly out of your life. And I have seen some of those written that are just beautiful. Love letters are to encourage yourself or others. Love letters are to heal, to express love, to hope for passion, to make promises meant to be kept, because remember, it's in writing. To make amends, to wish for the moon, love letters are for anyone at any time. And as Teresa said earlier, love letters can be to yourself. You can send yourself a wonderful reminder of a lot of things in a love letter, and why not? And when you see that envelope come, even though it's got your your handwriting on it, you still get that little jolt of joy that there's something personal for you in the mail.
Have you ever done that, Janet?
I have not done that. But I know how it feels even when I send a registered letter and I see that little green card, it's got my hand. I think I've got something. So that something personal in that pile of junk is always a treat.
Okay.
And remember that writing a love letter is also a way of documenting your own history in your own hand. You may have changed and you may have wandered a long way from the person you were when you wrote, but those letters will be forever a reminder of who you were when you wrote them. Looking back on your own letters, you will learn from them about yourself, about who you were, and how you felt. And by the way, a little blessing that we have today is that we can make copies of love letters we write, which we never used to be able to. You can keep your own letters that you write and read them and remind yourself of who you were.
Right. So let's get back to Barbara. And Barbara, have you had a chance to think about who you'd like to send a love letter to?
So who gets your love letter that you're going to start today?
Well, I really was very touched by that idea. My parents, Olive and Sholem, have both gone, and actually my mom's dedication is next month. And they never knew.
Right.
And of the birth that I had, and I think that was one of my mother's saddest points for me. She was very proud of my successes, and I felt that, but I know that's one thing that she would have liked for me, that it didn't happen. So I guess that would be a great place to start, and of course it would have to include David and his family.
Of course. So let me ask you this. Now, I remember when you mentioned to me, when you first met David, and you said with such a smile and such a really eye towards the miracle of it all, he has my father's ears.
Yes.
So, you know, so he's carrying a lot.
Yes.
We all do. We carry genetically whatever went before us, and you look at him, and so you're tied back to your own parents even.
Right.
Through things you can see and things you know about him.
Right.
So if you, in writing to your parents, what would be your goal in a letter to them? What is it you would want them to know?
To share the good person that David is, and that he's continuing goodness that they both were as people.
And taught you and...
Yes, and taught me, and even though I was not there to raise David, he was in a family that had the same principles, thankfully.
So let me ask you something here. What would be the three things you want most to say in this letter? And is this to both parents?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like that. Yeah.
What are the three things that you would most want to tell them? Just one, two, three.
Oh, dear.
Well,
three things.
I mean, you just mentioned that it was a point of your mother's. That
right.
So start with that.
Well, that...
It was a sadness to your mother that she didn't meet a child of yours?
Well, that I didn't marry and have a family.
Right. So that's one thing that you...
Right. I have...
So in light of that, what do you want to tell them?
I want to tell her that I have had the wonder, excitement... there's so many words I want to use in describing to meet the son that I bore, and he's an individual that I am so proud of because of the way he lives his life. He's honest and fun and straightforward and everything I'd want in a son. And that she would be proud to have.
And that's wonderful.
And love him and just...
And to know that you have this joy.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So that your life is fuller.
Yeah.
And not empty in any way that she might have feared.
Well, it's a little empty, but it's all right.
And what... I'm just thinking, you know, in line of this, what about the rest of your life? What would you want them to know about the rest of your life, about how you grew up and the kind of woman you are? That's going to be important for them
right.
to know. They
don't get
to see you now.
Oh, totally, totally. My dad had his own business most of my growing up times. He was a hard worker, owned a gas station. And Mom was a homemaker, but very creative in a way that I didn't realize until I was grown. And
say a couple of those things out loud, because you want to put those down, maybe
yes.
to acknowledge and let her know that you knew them, that you remembered them.
Oh, indeed. I'm sure I'm an entrepreneur because of her. Yeah, she was an ambitious woman within the parameters of what was proper.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm first generation here to this country, and both my parents were born in Europe, but grew up here in the States. And that was pretty important then, to be, you know, a homemaker.
And what, if anything, and I can see where there would be things for sure, would you like to say to them that you have been unable to say for any reason? I'm just wondering, knowing them and loving them as you clearly do,
yeah.
and the respect that I can see you have for them and their intelligence and their way of living life. You felt you couldn't let them know that you were pregnant.
Right.
I'm wondering if, looking back, is that so true? I mean, what would have happened if you had told them? Not that it really matters.
Well,
what would you like them to know about why you didn't tell them?
Well, I would still say I would just, with the shame to the family. But, again, in retrospect, to have to either marry the young man with whom I had mm-hmm. had the relation and get married and have a child, I think that I couldn't see that either. Mm-hmm. So it just, no win. And I would never tell my parents that. I just, it was this the time. I'm stumbling all over the place.
Right.
Here.
So, but that's important, because a lot of what we do in life is a reflection of what we're permitted to do by the times in which we live.
Mm.
And you had mentioned something about changing times and gone from so many years ago where you just couldn't tell them you were pregnant, and now something has shifted. Now there's no shame apparently. And what happened? When you went...
Well, this briefly, my son has a stepson who had a bar mitzvah last year, and everybody is dashing about, and I was with the bar mitzvah boy, and he was walking in the door, and a woman was coming out the door, and Asher introduced us, and off he went, and there she and I were eye to eye, and she looks at me, and she said, "Oh, Barbara, you're David's birth mother," and I'm stuttering again because that's exactly how I felt. I just to go from leaving my home, my family, never having ever been away, to having a child because of the shame, to then meeting 30 years, 40 years later, to someone saying, "Oh, you're David's birth mother," in such a casual way. It's awesome. It's awesome. And also, you know, it's great. It's terrific.
So you've essentially gone from an era in which the same thing that was a scandal,
right,
is now really a point of special status.
Well, special status, I don't know, but that's a nice way to put it. Certainly accepted. Certainly.
Well, it sounds like more than accepted. I mean, you're somebody important. You gave birth to this child.
Yeah.
I mean, that is important for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we've written these things down,
right,
and I am hoping that on your own, we can encourage you, the very first thing you do, either today or tomorrow,
yes,
is address and stamp that envelope. And by the way, it's a very good idea, before you write a letter, to address and stamp the envelope.
Ah.
And keep it next to you, because people follow through. Once you put that 39-cent stamp on an envelope, nobody throws it away. You can waste $10 a week on absolutely nothing for the rest of your life, but that 39 cents doesn't get thrown away. So I hope you'll do that. And I hope you will mail it, of course. And write everything down as a first draft, just all these thoughts. And then take a look at it and check it for honesty, which I can see you have absolutely no problem with. And check it to make sure you sound exactly as you want. That is to say, what's really reflected in your heart. So are you going to do that?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
And I hope that you will, if there's any special and beautiful results that you want to share with us,
right,
you will let us know, and maybe we can share it on the air.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the deal.
So I want to say that one of the nice things about a letter that you can't do in a phone call, and this is getting back to checking what you've written down, is you can check to see what comes out of your mouth. You can't do that in a phone call. You want to see if it's what's in your heart and what it sounds like. If you feel you didn't say it quite as you feel, and that happens sometimes, once you write it down, you think, that's not exactly how
right,
I meant
right,
it.
Right.
And you can change it. You can fine-tune it. If you don't like it for any reason, you can correct it. And when I say correct it, what I really mean is not to dissemble in any way or hide what you want to say, but make it as authentically you as you can, and make it just reflect exactly what you feel, what you hope, and what you think. You know that in a phone call, who hasn't done this, or on an answering machine, once you blurt something out, you're stuck with it.
Mm.
And so now, after you've corrected it in any way you need to, write it on luscious paper and mail it. So I know you're going to do that. Who will you mail it to? Because I know you said that your mother's dedication
right
is next month, and that's a beautiful thing to read.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Ah, la la.
I thought that's what you meant.
Oh, no.
I thought that's what you meant. But who would you be mailing it to?
I'd mail it to my son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think everybody would love to know how he reacts, and I'm sure it would be beautiful because you've talked about how sensitive and wonderful he is.
Barbara, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
That's a beautiful story, and your bravery in telling it to our listeners and us is just wonderful, and we've all, I'm sure, gained some real appreciation about things from that.
And what a wonderful time it is that things we used to think we'd have to take to the grave, we don't.
Right, right.
Thank you again, Barbara.
Thank you.
And good luck to you, and let us know how it turns out. We have just a few minutes left. Part of every Love Letters Live show, we try to devote to some questions from listeners and letters that people want to share. Here's a letter that we received, very short one, Janet, and I'll let you take this away. Here's the letter. Dear Janet, What about a person who has just a few days to live? Is it too late to send a love letter? And what do I say?
Never too late to send a love letter. As you can see here, somebody's sending one long after people have gone. But when people have only a few days to live, I actually had this experience with a friend who was dying of cancer and was told that she has maybe 5-6 days left. And so four of us who had worked together when we were young, we got together and went over to visit her. One of the women had written a letter, showed it to me, and said, nervously, can I read this to her? In other words, will it have a grim or awful feeling, as in, you're not going to be here for longer, and this is goodbye? And I said, it's gorgeous. Of course, read it. And I don't think people see things as your time is limited and your hours are numbered. They take in what you said. So she read this wonderful letter, and it was all about our young years together and what they shared and things that we did when we were in our 20s. And this friend of mine was sitting on the sofa, and when we walked in, I mean, she was skeletal. She was not long for this world. It was awful. But as Nancy read this letter to her, color came into her cheeks, and she started to smile and laugh. And as sick as she was vibrant. And that letter didn't say goodbye. That letter said hello. Hello to us all. And took her back to a time when she was her strongest and most living. And we finally left because she was getting tired. And she wanted to know if we could come back. Could we come back in a few days and see her again? And we said we would, of course, and we planned to. And she died 3 days later, and we didn't get to. But she had the gift of a letter that brought life back to her. And she left us knowing how much she meant to us. So I think that's, don't ever be afraid to send a letter recalling times to somebody, no matter how close to dying they are.
Thanks, Janet. That was a great response. We're, again, nearing the end of today's program, and we just want to close with a plea to our listeners. Please, and this is where we bend the rules about electronic communication, please email us, and we'll give you the address very shortly, so please get ready with your pencil or pen. Tell us about the letters you have written or received. Tell us the good that they've done, and let us know if we can read them on the air, anonymously if you prefer. Or email us with any questions you have about how to say something in the clearest and dearest way. So here's our email address. Love Letters Live, just like it sounds, at sbcglobal.net. Love Letters Live at sbcglobal.net.
Thank you. And I just want to mention, you can, of course, have us share anything anonymously. Privacy is enormously important. And for some people, it doesn't matter. Other people can be braver if they know their privacy is being considered. So feel free. And I just want to add that at times like these, where I personally hope to get through each day without being driven to madness by voicemail, endless menus, press 1 if you want our street number, press 2 if you want the name of the street, press 3 if it doesn't matter. You can be stuck on this for hours of your life, and there's rarely a person to help you, and too little friendly, loving contact. It is more important for our own sanity to keep our eyes consciously on our blessings and the gratitude that fills our hearts. So remember, no matter what your days do to you in frustration and madness, stay aware of the gratitude that you feel wherever it is. Stay aware of it and send it on with love to someone.
Jan, Barbara, thank you again.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us. We hope you all will tune in again every Saturday afternoon at 2:30 on KUSF 90.3 FM. And in the meantime, we urge you to put your loving sentiments into words while you still have the chance.
And if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. So until next week, with love
from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye.
Hey.